What happens when the religious beliefs of a headstrong evangelical woman run into the strong headwinds from her husband, her family, and most troubling, the government? A tale from today's polarized political climate? No, this historically based story takes us back to the Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1637 and opens in a cold, dark, damp jail cell in Puritan Boston. Presenting The Mistrial of Anne Hutchinson by Bernard Ginelli.
Achieve all things through him who strengthens me. I can achieve all things through him who strengthens me. I can achieve all things.
Jailer, go find Governor Winthrop at once and tell him I demand he unshackle the prisoner.
And who might you be, sir?
Andrew, that's my husband, Will Hutchinson.
Oh, sorry not to know you, Mr. Hutchinson. The name is Symes, sir. Andrew Symes.
Andrew, when you fetch Governor Winthrop, please tell him that my husband requests I be unfettered. I'm sure he'll be less enraged if you put it that way.
Yes, Miss Hutchinson.
How many times, Anne? How many times did I warn you to stop? How many times did I tell you Winthrop would imprison you?
I kept challenging his tyrannical ways more times than I care to count.
And now look at you.
I am well aware of my situation. Will, I have a question for you. I know this might sound strange, but I've been wondering if I'm still friendly enough for you.
That depends on what you mean by friendly, I suppose.
I mean in our bedchamber. Am I still friendly enough for you in our bed?
Anne, of all the things you should be concerned about, please tell me you're not actually thinking about how intimate we are in bed.
I simply want to know if I still please you in that way.
Of course you still please me in our bedchamber, as much as ever, in fact. And because I want you to keep pleasing me, I beg you to throw yourself on the mercy of the court and apologize to Winthrop. Who knows? Perhaps our governor will set you free so you can deliver a sermon called The Intimate Thoughts of a Puritan Woman. I'm sure the entire clergy would love to attend and bring their wives as well.
I do not appreciate being mocked.
And I don't appreciate that you've put yourself and your entire family in danger.
Do not raise your voice to me.
What would you rather have me do? Kneel and pray?
I'd appreciate that very much.
Well, I won't. I may be a man of faith, but that faith is tempered by reason and common sense.
But your prayers will help me keep my courage up.
Your courage be damned! This jail cell is what your courage has wrought.
What happened to my husband? The man who sailed across the Atlantic with his family to start their lives anew? Who treated his wife as his equal? Who encouraged her to lead weekly scripture meetings in their home?
Anne, I'm a merchant, a man who takes measured risks. I would never have supported you had I known how far you would take your teachings.
I have too many followers who depend on my spiritual guidance. Until a few minutes ago, I counted you among them.
I am still inspired by your faith and your guidance, but there's a limit to what I will confess in public. We still have children at home, children who need our love and protection.
I truly admire your devotion as a father. The truth is, you inspire me to want to be a better mother.
Does that mean you'll do as I ask and apologize to Winthrop?
If I do, his intolerance will only grow stronger.
Ugh.
There are times when the Almighty calls us to obey a higher law, one that transcends the edicts of self-important kings and governors.
There are also times when a person must retreat within to serve another, more important cause.
My followers have learned to commune directly with the Holy Spirit because of me. What cause could be greater than that?
Your family, Anne. Your family.
I love our children as much as you.
And that's why I need you to make peace with Winthrop and keep your convictions to yourself, at least until we can find another colony to take us in.
No other colony will accept me, not after I've been branded a heretic.
You don't know that. Besides, the alternatives are too grim. If they burn you at the stake, I'll have no choice but to fight to the death, rendering our children orphans. And if they banish you now, in the dead of winter, our entire family will perish together in the wilderness.
You must have more faith.
I need you to listen to me. I mean, truly listen. I do not want to hear another word about your faith. I am talking about the preservation of our marriage, the survival of our children. I am begging you, Anne. I won't be able to carry on without you. Please, please don't do this to me. Not after all the love we've shared for all these years.
Very well. I'll do as you ask and seek to make peace with Winthrop. But first,
oh,
I must...
Anne, thank you. Thank you for finally heeding my advice.
Pardon me, but Governor Winthrop is on his way. I should warn you that he is in a foul mood.
Thank you, Andrew. Please, Will, I need you to leave so I can speak with our governor in private.
All right.
Mr. Hutchinson.
Governor Winthrop.
Jailer, remove her shackles.
Thank you, Governor Winthrop.
Mistress Hutchinson, with regard to our dispute, I'd like you to know that I'm...
Excuse me, but when you use the term dispute, I presume you mean our disagreement over my teachings.
That's precisely what I mean. Now, as to the specific nature of your teaching...
What would you like to know? I have nothing to hide.
I'm well aware that you claim to communicate directly with the Holy Spirit, and that
May
you...
I ask how you've obtained such knowledge?
Mistress Hutchinson, I am your governor. It's my duty to know when someone seeks to usurp my authority. I came here today hoping to find a way to end our dispute and return peace to this colony. Let us set aside our preconceived notions of one another.
Thank you for your spirit of forgiveness, for it is my wish to reconcile with you as well. After all, Almighty God commands us to live in harmony, and as such, I will pledge to do my best.
Oh, splendid! I'm extremely pleased to hear you've had a change of heart.
My husband was pleased to hear that as well.
My clergy will also be overjoyed once you publicly renounce your teachings.
But I never said I would renounce any such thing. All I meant was that I
would... Oh, woman, be silent! Do you not realize you will never win if your case goes to trial? Or do you believe that you, a mere woman, can convince a jury that Almighty God has somehow ordained a person of your sex to communicate directly with his Holy Spirit?
I do.
On what basis?
My faith. And my faith alone.
A jury of 12 men will never acquit you based on such a weak defense.
Have you already prejudiced them before they hear my case?
How dare you suggest I would contravene the laws of this most holy colony?
I'm not suggesting you would break any of your man-made laws. Rather, I'm certain you've already violated a great many eternal laws. Laws Almighty God has etched upon our hearts concerning truth and justice.
Oh, cease your outburst at once! I did not come here for a sermon!
Then answer me this. Why did you just dismiss me as a mere woman?
Because, like all women in this colony, you are here to serve a subordinate function. And given that role, you shall never be allowed to claim a greater knowledge of the Holy Spirit than that possessed by my clergy. Men who have spent their entire lives devoted to doing God's work.
Were not the Pharisees who put our Lord to death also men who spent their entire lives dedicated to working on behalf of the Almighty? Yet like you and your clergymen, they also perverted God's holy word simply to maintain their lofty status in society.
Tis blasphemy, what you've just spoken.
Because I've exposed the hypocrisy of your argument? Does not the book of Ecclesiastes state there's a time for everything? A time to love and a time to hate? A time for war and a time for peace?
It does, but I fail to see your point.
It's simple. The time has come for me, a mere woman, to declare war on you for perverting Holy Scripture and for striking fear and loathing into the hearts of your people.
Perhaps, Mistress Hutchinson, you should fear me as well.
I shall never bow down to a self-righteous tyrant.
Look at you, so bold, so proud. Do you think I enjoy leading this petulant flock who complain about every little thing? I would give up my governorship tomorrow if I thought there was one person who could hold this colony together. The people would tear you to pieces if you ever tried to lead them.
I disagree. Were I not a woman, I'm certain no charges would have been brought against me. I must therefore conclude that my sex and my habit of speaking pose a great threat to a man as insecure as you. Go ahead, then. Do your worst. Burn me at the stake. shall be an honor to die as a martyr for my lord.
I'll not let you be burned because you're right. Instead, I'll ensure that you and your family are banished into the wilderness, where you'll perish from the cold and be torn apart by the natives. Why are you praying? Do you still not grasp that I possess the power to put you to death?
You lost that ability the day you had me arrested. All your foolish act did was to ensure I'll be immortalized as the woman who stood up to the mighty John Winthrop, the man who pretended to be a Moses, but who governs as a pharaoh. Excuse me, sir, but I feel the need to pray again. Dear Lord, please forgive Governor Winthrop, a ruthless bastard who clearly knows not what he does. Amen!
The Mistrial of Anne Hutchinson was written by Bernard Yanelli and directed by Dan Higgs and featured Chuck Conlon, Casey Murphy, Tom Aposporos, and Julie Breen. The stage manager was Donna DeFont. Technical director Ren Pearson was responsible for recording, editing, and mastering all of our radio plays. Narration by Maddie Cashin. The Mistrial of Anne Hutchinson is copyright protected and may not be used in any way without the author's permission. This audio production is copyright by Theater Odyssey, all rights reserved.